Happy Sabbath, church. Well, just my wife, let me try one more time. Happy Sabbath to the Visa Church.
Sabbath.
Amen. Glad you guys are now. What a privilege to be here. I hope you guys have survived Christmas and New Year. Yeah? We had family came over, and there was a lot of cooking, a lot of take them everywhere in Birmingham, in London. You cannot send a picture, yeah? So it was wonderful to have family, but it was very tiring. Yeah, so with family from Brazil, so everything's new, everything's different, everything need explanation why this happened in the UK. But it's wonderful to know and to have my family. It's lovely to have the link with the past. But my lovely church, I would like to talk to you this morning about mental health. It's not one of the subjects that you see much in church, but I want to share a little bit. I've been through some research, part of my master's, and all completed, I want to share. It's a link between mental health and the theological approach. So, what do we find out? The World Health Organization tells us that one in three of us will develop mental health. The world right now, we have over 50 million people suffering from mental health. Bring back home to the UK, they believe the numbers will triple. So in 20 years' time, we're going to have a population of most likely 25% of our population will have mental health. It's okay not to be okay. It's a beautiful slogan from the NHS. For many years, church, as a mental health nurse, I see the results of this terrible disease that could be dementia, Alzheimer's, with the young people as well. It's been affecting them so much. It's okay not to be okay. But what we find in the research is if your blood pressure goes a bit high, you go to your GP. If the heart starts not to go in the right direction, you feel a little bit some palpitation, you go to the GP, you go to your cardiologist. But with mental health, it's a bit tricky. Sometimes we don't go to anywhere. Sometimes we talk to a few people, sometimes we don't want to talk about it. It's okay not to be okay, but I tell you what is not okay. It's the stigma and discrimination. This is not okay. How we see brothers and sisters with mental health, this is not okay. And what we find out in the research session was the way we set up our church, the openness of our church, the communication with mental health. This is something that you have to improve. It's not because we don't see what's going on in other people's mind that they are not suffering. So what can we do? I bring the Bible perspective. This is James, the book of James, chapter 1. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, James, he has a fantastic approach. For those who believe they are very religious. If you believe you have a Christianity, no? Ready? He just gives advice to us. Verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. But now come 27. Religion that God, your Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans, and the widows, and the distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. Lovely church, look at the perspective of James. James is trying to say, look, you think you're religious, you think you know a lot about God. Let me tell you something, do you look after the others? I've been caring for those in need. So the perspective of James is not talking just about the widow and the orphans. James is talking about those who live at the margin of society, those that government and the society don't care much, those in need of our support. So do you want to really have a proper religion, a religion who shows God, look after them. Do you want to show to the world your real, the real religion? The religion will make a difference. Care for those with mental health. There's care for those in need, in distress. What we find, brothers and sisters, is there's a lack of communication, and it's quite common when we talk about religion. Why do I care about others? Why should I care? This is not my problem. I have my own problems. I have my home to take care of. I have my family. Why I will care for those who live in the margin of society? They'll not bring anything financially. They will not contribute to my church, to my community. Why do I care? I don't know if you noted, but we are getting older. It's a natural process. You can escape that. And what we find, church, if we don't do something for the future, we're going to miss the future. And then when the future comes, we're going to be one of those in the corner being rejected too. This is a strong message, church. You know why? Because it's a strong situation. We must act. We must do something about those in need. I can imagine James preaching that message in those days. Saying, look, let us help each other. James, come on. We are through the basically a civil war in Jerusalem. And you talk about the widows and the orphans? We don't have time for that. Elder Sergio, you're talking about those members with mental health and illness? We don't have time for this. We have to preach the gospel. We have to go door to door and reach those who know God. Those who are in need. This is our mission. Look after your mind. It's okay not to be okay. Look after those who need our help in time of distress. There's a historical approach. The historical approach of mental health tells us that our pioneers look into the illness of the mind. But I don't know how many of you know that 100 years ago, the pioneers, they have a special structure for those who mental health. Titles like dementia, Alzheimer's, quite a new title. But for many scriptures, it's the word mentioned those in need, those in mental distress. And they get together, they pray for them, they look after them, they care for the house, they make sure the fridge is not empty. Are you with me, church? Mm-hmm. They care if the bare necessities are provided. What is wonderful to live in a place in a country that we have social service. However, we need to make sure that we point to the right directions. We need to make sure that those in need know where to go. This is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to tell, look, my brother, let me help you. There is a place to go when you're in distress. There's a place to go if you need financial support. There's a place you're going to need to talk about your mental illness. Come to the house of God. This is a place that we're going to communicate. Come to the house. And here, in God's house, we're going to talk about the issues in the community. That's therefore, we will not suffer. Come to the house of God. In this place, you'll be a great place. Because this place will highlight the solution for this. But as you talk about the solution for mental illness, are you talking about the solution for dementia? This is bold. But I'm here talking through the research that actions can do wonders. We're talking through this research that we can do so much when we get together and we decide to help each other. Perhaps the distress, the traumas of life bring us so much those feelings of distress, church. The way some brothers and sisters have been raised and the consequence of the education, addiction. Therefore, bring all your problems to the house of God. Bring your traumas. Bring your issues. Because they know that in this temple, God will be waiting for them. What a special place we have here. A place that can highlight God Himself. They can bring solution to a long last problem. The Bible talks about someone who suffers so much about mental health. He didn't manage to get the help he needs. I'm sure we heard about King Saul and the distress he had in his life. And the text tells us that every time that he was in distress, and David played and sing, he was feeling much better. There is something about the word of God, the songs that you pray, the message that we have to help those in need. Bring them home. Tell them there is hope. Tell them that the Lord that we serve will make a difference. The data gathered for the last 5 years in our church shows that there is a systematic determinism in how we think. If God wants them to have that illness, I cannot do anything about it. If God decides that particular member have a particular illness, it's nothing to do with it. And we forget that we are God's hand in action. We forgot that for this not to happen again requires strength, requires work, and requires knowledge. We must know that we can help them. Another find in my lovely church was how media and society plays their part. When the media talk about mental health, is most of the time, 92% is in negative form. Words such as crazy, words who have a negative impact on us. And over the years, understanding mental health and listening to that message, we start to believe that we should avoid. We should not accept those members among us. And then we have another problem. If I develop anything regarding to mental health, I decide not to talk to anyone. I hide my problem. I hide my distress, I hide my depression, because I don't want to talk. I don't want them to know, I don't want the church to know that I've been suffering with mental health. Because of the stigma and the discrimination, some of our brothers and sisters decide not to go and look for treatment. And as you know, in some parts of the world, believe even the prayer alone is the solution. What can we do? What's the solution? What we find, church, is that is an implication of modern family fragmentation. The issue with the family is that can have an a difficulty in a result as we get older, we start long before. The number of divorce and the fragmentation that family seems not to care much about, the young ones. Also going the length of the scale when you talk about the elderly as well. Family seems to care less and less about the elderly. We live in a society that we just care about the moment, the now, and what we can get from the moment. So to care for the elderly, to care for the family members who need help, I don't have time, I have my family, I have my job, and again, they become a margin of society. They become a client that seen just by the GP. They become individuals that they have no voice. And what can we improve? What can we do for those who have no voice? We speak on their behalf. Give a message that can change the system. We have the power, we have the know-how, we have the understanding for change. Let us do it. Let us highlight and the whole society knows that every time someone comes here, they will be seen as brothers and sisters with no difference. They will be seen as those in need, just like I'm in need, with no stigma and no discrimination. James 1:26 and 27 tells that emphasize the true manifestation of religion continues to be pure and undefiled before God. The simple approach, although not easy, appears in action of charity, helping those who are unprotected, defenseless, under the presence of the socio-economic conditions. I'm sure most of us heard about the postcode lottery for treatment. Listen, brothers, in some situations, if you want to search, if you want to get the treatment that you need to leave that particular postcode. Unfortunately, it's not available for every single citizen. The scale goes in such a level that the government spends more in mental health today than they spend in heart and cancer. And if the numbers are right, church, if the number is going to be triple in 20 years' time, we're going to live in crisis moment. Just mathematics. So whatever we have today, the research seems to tell us that we get worse. James continues to speak about the social injustice by highlighting the danger of favoritism and discrimination against the poor, who also represent those who are less able physically and mentally. He points injustice by favoritism based on appearance, finance, and communication. When believers allow their lives to be filled with God's responses and justice, the community can be distinguished as a positive and inclusive to the need of individuals with dementia and mental health. I would a lady call her son in the middle of the night. She'd been put there for many years now in a nursing home, and her son was very busy. The mom, you're going to stay there just for a few months. Just as I organize my job, and I just want to get promoted. And then I come to take it to live with me. The first year have passed. The elder lady keep calling him and say, son, when you come to see me? Mom, I'm just organizing something. I'm just about to get my second promotion, and then I'm going to have enough money for you to come to live with me. The second year had passed, and he didn't have time to visit his mom. The third year and the fourth year, few phone calls, because it's what he had time to do. But one day, the nurse contacts the son and said, look, I think you should come to see your mom. He said, okay, she's not doing too well. I think you should come right now. So he got there. He got to the nursing home, and his mom was lying down in bed in a very lonely area. And then he said, mom, are you okay? He said, I'm okay, my son. I'm okay. Long time. It has been a long time since I see you. And he explained he was very busy taking care of his work and his life. And she asked the son, please open your window because it's very hot here. And he said, I cannot believe that there is nothing to make this room a little bit with a better temperature. And mom said, my son, please buy some air conditioner, some fan, something for the room, if you can. Don't worry, mom, I will take care of this. And if you can, my son, please make sure you can buy something than just beans on toast. You've been just eating beans on toast? Yes, this is what they serve in a nursing home. But mom, I thought you've been eating well. I said, no, this is not for me, son. I want you to take care of all these things. Because I can look after myself. I can bear the heating, the lack of nourishment. But I'm worried when you get here in the future. If you're going to be able to stand the heating, lack of nourishment, the lack of care. My lovely church, if you're not proactive when you have the strength and the energy to do it, when you get to the time, you're going to be one of those corners praying for someone to do something. Let us be the ones who will change the structure of what we believe. Let us be the one who is going to change this structure by God's grace to help those in need in 2020. Be a community of helpers. Be a church who can be inclusive for those in need. Let us not lose time in being in a position to just hope. Let us be the hope that our society needs. I want to finish my message this morning. The recommendations that rise from the research tell us that we have a systemic problem. And the systemic problem is about care and love. I think when we sorted the care and the love for one another, we can see our brothers and sisters in a different vision. My Lord, church, this is not the kind of message we see in most of the churches. Because it's the kind of message that hurts. Every time that we have to talk about change and perspective of change is the kind of message who hurts us. I'm going to talk about the Seventh-day Adventist church. I'm talking about the Church of God. I'm talking about the church that we belong. But the change must start with us. We must care for those in need. And the recommendation is this old good recommendation. Love one another as our God loves us. May God continue staying with us. May God continue to give us the strength. May God continue to give us the will to study and to understand the need of our community. May God continue to empower us to be the vehicle of change until He comes again. Amen?
Amen. Amen.